Welcome in to the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. Men, if this is your first time stopping by the Pursuit of Manliness, I want to say welcome. Yeah, I'm thankful that you're here. When you get the opportunity, make sure you visit thepursuitofmanliness.com. You can find all things Pursuit of Manliness, this podcast, what's available in the gear store. Learn more about our fall men's retreat, sign up for the email newsletter, and more. This is a Friday podcast. That means it is an out in the garage episode. That means two things. One, we're going to be walking through Exodus chapter 12, and it also means this is sponsored by Dark Water Woodwork, darkwaterkc.com. Right now, Dark Water is offering an out in the garage beard bundle. This is a beard bundle that has some Armor Nation coffee in it. I mean, literally, I've showed you the beard balm. I tried to. It's over here. I'm not going to open it back up right now. But I've showed you the beard balm. The other day, I was dumping some beard oil into my hand. My dauber wasn't, it was in a hurry. So I dumped it, and all of a sudden, this thing came out. It was a coffee bean. Literally, there is Armor Nation coffee in this. So if you use the code Exodus12, when you buy the Out in the Garage beard bundle, you will save 15% off your order. DarkwaterKC.com. All right, let's get into Exodus chapter 12. I was thinking of this just a few moments ago, that when I am a guest on a podcast, which happens from time to time, it's interesting to me how many of them compliment the fact that we stay connected to the Bible. You know, as far as the content or what we're talking about in the conversations, how many of them will notice that it is very much grounded in Scripture, connected to the Bible. Hey, I'm only doing that because I don't know any other way we should do that. Like, I don't see how. That's the best plan I've come up with. Stay with the Bible. So that's what we're going to try to do. When I look at Exodus chapter 12 today, what is this? It's, I think it's 51... Yeah, 51 verses, and the one before was 10. So the last one was a short one. This is a long one, but this is a loaded chapter. And I got to be honest, I went back and forth on how to approach this. I'm going to tell you on the onset, I will not be able to do this chapter the full justice that it deserves. I don't know if I do any chapter the full justice it deserves, but this is really loaded. This is one that I would strongly encourage you, when you get the opportunity, read it for yourself. I'm going to give my best effort to try to unpack this. And then there's a couple verses towards the end of this chapter, verse 41, 42, and some things about that, that I really wanted to get to. But as I was typing out my notes, and I have 5 pages of notes, that's a lot. Even in my 16 font right here, that's a lot. So I'm going to try to get through that without making this an hour and a half podcast, but also the 41, 42, and so on, that portion will be for the herd. You guys that are new to the podcast, like, what's the herd about? The herd is just a group of guys who support the show, support the ministry with $5 a month. That's what they do. That's the starting thing, $5 a month. If you want to do more, God bless you. That's great. I humbly appreciate that. The herd was started in June, and it was $79 a year. I couldn't figure out a way to do it monthly. I'd rather do it monthly. I wanted to get it cheaper. The website and things I just couldn't figure it out. $79. Once Buzzsprout, who is the host site for this podcast, said, hey, we offer subscriptions now. I said, man, that's what we've been looking for. So $5, guys can do that. They get bonus content. We have monthly Zoom calls. They're part of a community beyond just the podcast, if you will. So now I do know this. Some guys have reached out. Depending on the platform you use, I think it was Amazon Music and Spotify being kind of glitchy when it comes to the podcast. I've reached out to Buzzsprout when it comes to the Herd podcast, and they've told me something about, check the URL you got when you signed up for your $5 a month. But I do know Apple Podcasts has worked really smooth. I haven't heard anybody yet say like that hasn't worked for them. So enough of that. Exodus 12. I want to start actually in verse 11. God has been given instructions to Moses and Aaron about the deliverance that's going to take place and about the Passover meal. And he's very clear on what this should look like and how to do this. Very methodical. Down to the days, the moments, what you wear, etc. Verse 11. In this manner, You shall eat it with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You might say this, you shall eat it with your pants buckled up, your shoes still on your feet, and your weapon in your hand, if you will. Whatever. Whatever's your thing, okay? And you shall eat it in haste, which means quickly. It is the Lord's Passover. You ever had lunch with someone that eats their meal in haste? You're like, I have even got four bites in, and they're like mopping up the last bite. He said, do it quickly. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, on the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. This, God is saying this is going to be such a significant event. And he does this in chapter 12. He says, this is going to be such a significant event that you're going to need to reset your calendar. The new year for you now will start with the month of the redemption from Egypt. It was a dramatic way of saying everything is going to change. You know, when you give up the single life for the shared life, you got your fiance, you're engaged to her, you have the wedding, whether it was you and a witness or you and, you know, 500 people, it doesn't matter. That is a significant moment where you are supposed to communicate to your bride, to the congregation, to God. Everything is going to change. This is such a dramatic way that our life will essentially revolve around this specific date. I was married on April 7th. That date, as long as I'm breathing and taking up space on this planet, that day will be significant. Now, I didn't reset my calendar on April 7th, but in a lot of ways I did. Been married this many years, this many, you know, this is our anniversary, this is whatever. We're not big celebrating anniversary people, but we do try to cultivate our marriage. We don't take on these, we don't do extravagant things for the first many years because we don't have any resources, but nevertheless, we just don't. But that's significant. It's significant to us that we wear our wedding bands, that we do certain things. Like, I don't ride in a car alone with another female. I just don't. There's just certain things I just don't do, certain non-negotiables. Because that event is significant, and it was supposed to change everything. He says, when you leave, and when you do this, you're going to do this in haste. You're going to do this quickly, and you're going to do this as if you're getting ready to get out of there, because you are. Some people in life are just bad at leaving. Some people just disappear. You're like, where were they? Where were they? They're gone. Others, they don't leave. It takes them 45 minutes just to make it to their car. You're like, we are never going to end this night. This is never going to end. This wouldn't be the case for either one. It would be quick, but it would not be silent. God would give them further instructions on the Passover as you go through this. On the 10th of this first month, each family or household was to take a lamb, and the lamb was to live with the family for 4 days until the Passover. I wonder if the kids named the lamb Slaughter. I don't know what they named it, but maybe they named it Dinner. I don't know. Verse 11 instructs them on how to eat the meal. Your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. Your staff in your hand, wouldn't it make it a little bit more challenging? I'm holding a pen in my hand right now. If I just ate my meal with my pen in my hand, that would be hard, let alone a large staff. But the point was, you need to be ready when you eat this at a moment's notice. Essentially, to have your loins girded, which means like take your flowing robe, tuck it in your belt so you're not going to trip on it, and you can move briskly out of Egypt. Peter kind of uses this figure of speech in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action. Prepare, be prepared, be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter says, don't muck around. Make sure you are ready. Verse 13, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike that land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generation, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. The blood was a sign to point to the family within the house. They were protected from the plague, if you will. Don't miss the spiritual truth here. One, this was not a sign for Pharaoh and the Egyptians. The Egyptians don't need to look out the house and go, honey, they're putting blood above their doorpost. I think that would make our place look nicer too. Nope, nobody was going to do that. It was only for the Israelites. And number two, the sign if you will, is a manifestation of God's grace. He was giving them unmerited favor over the Israelites. They didn't deserve the sign of the blood, but God provided it. Based on his promise to Abraham, the patriarchs, if you will, the unconditional covenant he made with him, a covenant also based on grace. Two things. It's clear that the safety of the Israelites was going to be dependent upon the blood shed and put over the doorpost. If the blood was put in the proper place and they did it the way that God told them to do it, they were safe. Our spiritual salvation for you and I depends on the blood of the cross. With that sprinkled blood upon the doorpost of our hearts, we're safe, we're secure. Jesus already took care of that. It's the blood of the cross that is the foundation of our salvation. That atoning sacrifice for you and I, for all people. And number two, the certainty of their salvation depended upon the word of God. It was God that promised that if you put the blood over the door, I'll pass over it. Their safety and security depended upon trusting the promise of God that he would do what he said he would do. Would I have been a bit concerned if I was an Israelite that night? Very much so. You're already slaves. You have no rights. You have no freedoms. You're putting your trust in this guy who had been gone for four decades, coming back, saying the Lord spoke to him. Here's what you need to do. Here's how you need to do it. Let's be honest. Most of it didn't make a lot of sense. You did live through the plagues. You were able to see the power of God on display. But yet, there's still the human element that there's trust. Are there things in Scripture and things in my own life that don't always make sense to me? Absolutely. Things that I don't have the best answers for? 100%. But I put my trust in God that he is who he says he is. His word is true. Jesus is who he says he is. He did what he said he was going to do. And because of that, I put my trust in him. When things don't make sense, when things unravel, when there's stormy seasons, when you're eating a meal in haste, if you will, you say, I'm putting my trust in God because I can't see any other option that would make any more sense than that. Like he, none of his promises have failed to hit the ground without being fulfilled. This promise took 430 years. Man, I'm not good waiting 43 minutes. 430 years. That's a heavy one. That's a hard one. But here it is. Exodus chapter 29, forgive me, Exodus chapter 12, 29 to 32. This is when the destroyer begins to pass through the houses and everybody starts to lose their firstborn. Whether it was Pharaoh or to the guy in the dungeon, everyone loses it. Pharaoh is like, that's it. He calls him in. He says, up and go out from my people, both you and your people of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as you have said. Okay, I'll take it, your offer, I'm good on that. Take your flocks, your herds, as you said, and be gone, and bless me also. Two things. One, here's Pharaoh just lost his firstborn. I don't know what that's like for all these people. You got innocent people being affected by Pharaoh's hardness of heart. Innocent Egyptian people being affected by this, the loss of their firstborn instantly, all of them. And then he throws in, and bless me also. Listen, some people are never going to learn. I was just thinking this last night from a preaching standpoint. Like you stand up and you preach to people for 30, 35 minutes a weekend. Most people are not going to do anything with it. It feels like a lot of times, what's the point? Listen, I know all the spiritual components. I know God's word will not return. I know all that. But from a human standpoint, you say, what's the point? They're not going to do anything with this. You'll get the parable of the sower. One in four soils. We always think we're the good soil. Path, no chance, okay? Rocks and thorns, had a chance. Got gripped out by worries of the world, all these desires and stuff. And you look and go, everyone here thinks they're the good soil. Where's the crop? Some people are just they're never going to move. They're never going to learn. They're never going to do anything different. They're just not. And that's not me judging specifically people in the chairs, because I don't know who's doing what, but you just know. You just know, like, if we were, then A, B, and C should be a little bit different. Don't you agree? So listen, Pharaoh, even in all of his narcissistic behaviors and approaches, and bless me, by the way, before you take off, no restrictions this time. Just get out of here. Apparently, for the moment, he's okay with being defeated. We know he's not going to stay that way very long, but for the moment, he's okay. He's received, if you will, the ultimate humiliation, seeking the blessing out of these prophets after his defeat. There's no real repentance. He just wants a blessing. There's no recognition of personal responsibility. Just bless me. I want the blessing. I don't want the liability. I don't want the shame. I don't want the consequences. That's us a lot of times. Bless me. I don't want to deal with any of the bad stuff. Just bless me. He wanted the plagues to be gone. And he wanted kind of the immediate shock to kind of wear down. You guys get out of here. Could you imagine what that sounded like? When you think about the weight of the moment. Everybody with blood over their doorpost is beginning to march out of Egypt. About 2 million people. Unbelievable. 2 million people walking across Egypt going, we're out of here. In the cover of the chaos of darkness. On the other side, you have a bunch of people weeping and mourning and wailing. I can't imagine when they realize that their firstborn is dead. I can't imagine the noise. And again, all under the cover of chaotic darkness. But here's our takeaway. We serve a God who still hears our cry. He sees what ails us. He is a God who rescues and restores and delivers. And he has done the same for us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He says, you are here. I'm placing you over there. But listen. One of the worst things that the Israelites do, and if you know this text, you already know this, is they long to go back to Egypt once they realize things get difficult. If somebody told you coming to Christ was going to make your life easier, you would become more popular, you would become more successful in your business, they lied to you. You say, I don't know about that, Jared. I don't know. Hebrews chapter 11 will be a great place for you to start. I've said before, I notice in our day, those who call themselves prophets and prophetesses and all this stuff, it's amazing how well they live. Rarely are they looking like a vagrant. Read scripture. That's how they lived. They weren't popular people that would proclaim God's judgment. These people who are prophesying these things, it's always good. It always seems to be good. That isn't how God used prophets in scripture. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't mess around with things that give the perception of God that are not of God. Stop trying to dabble in all this stuff to make yourself feel better and deconstructing this and unpacking this and rebuilding this. God said a few times in this text, forever. His mercies are new every day. His promises, he's not wavering on it. His standards, they haven't been minimized. I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how great you think you are or what you do. God is not budging on his standards and expectations of his people. Don't long to go back to Egypt. He has delivered you, if you're in Christ, from the domain of darkness and transferred, as if he's picking you up and going, nope, over here, to the kingdom of his beloved Son. If you lived in a kingdom, should you not act as if you live in a kingdom of his beloved Son, the one who had victory over death? What's the number one thing that ails everybody? The fear of death, the fear of the unknown. He says, I'm placing you, literally placing you, into the kingdom of the one who has conquered death, the thing that's your greatest fear. I'm placing you in there. Stop looking back and saying, boy, I had a lot of great memories there. A lot of great souvenirs. Just, I'd like to go back. I just want to see how close I can get. What if I just lived where I could watch what happens in Egypt? You know what? What if I just stay there a few nights? No. Have you been redeemed? Then don't go back. Don't go back. Has God showed you tremendous mercy like he did with the Israelites that night? Has he told you what he's going to do and you hold on to a promise that he will do it, and I don't care if it takes 430 years for it to happen. I can't imagine when the Israelites, when the light bulb went off that night and they realized, wait a minute, I remember hearing stories about Joseph going into here, and as he was dying, said, carry my bones out of this place. I remember the promise that he made to Abram, that your people will be captives for 430 years, and then I'm going to bring them into a new land. Wait a minute, are we living that right now? So instead of looking at all the prophecies and trying to figure out and the time frames and all that stuff, just live faithful today. If you've been delivered from darkness and transferred to a kingdom of his beloved son, well, for goodness sakes, let's live like it, right? Man, thanks for listening, and let's keep pursuing biblical manliness. For you men in the herd, we are going to continue that conversation, specifically verse 41 and 42 over there.